Alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah. Allah's special mercy, blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a massive favor and opportunity, massive opportunity and favor, that between these two salah that we are praying today, after one salah, Allah ta'ala has given us the tawfiq ability to stay in His home and await the next salah. And we aren't just sitting there bone idle doing nothing, rather alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah, we have made niyyah for itikaf in the masjid, that as long as we are in the masjid after salah and until the next salah, when the mu'tafi come in, you should make niyyah for itikaf when you come into the masjid, so that as you are waiting for the next salah, you get the reward of itikaf. And on top of that, an additional thawab reward, we won't be sitting there empty handed, we'll be doing dhikr of Allah, remembering Allah. And this is the genuine article, the genuine objective intention due to which Allah Ta'ala has given us all of the rewards. And the special reason for all of that reward and for the objective for me and you to sit here isn't to listen to a speech, not to listen to a lecture, it's not to listen to anything, no other objective. Khalis, purely, we have one objective, one goal. And that is, what is that objective? The worry of the hereafter. Fikr of the akhirah. The concern for the life to come in the hereafter. And upon that we talk, we discuss. In this day and age, in the world of negligence, in the environment of no deen, no religion, you could say. And if we don't have fikr and concern, then we cannot succeed. So this is the objective. Due to the barakah of this concern, Allah gives us all the good results. If we didn't have fikr, we wouldn't sit. If we don't sit, then we wouldn't get the reward of salah in the masjid. And we wouldn't have the niyyah itikaf. And then we wouldn't do the dhikr of Allah. But for this reason, because we have fikr akhirah, worry for the hereafter, that's why we've come, we sit down, we talk, we discuss, and Allah gives us all of these rewards due to fikr akhirah. So what is fikr akhirah? What is the worry of the hereafter? The biggest worry for the hereafter is one, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, may you become pleased with us, and when we depart and leave this world, may you be pleased with us, Allah. This is the objective. And when an individual has the rada of Allah, pleasure of Allah, and he reaches to thereafter, and Allah, with your fadl and blessings, Allah, please give us Jannah, paradise. This is our objective of life. And to attain this objective, Allah gives us roti, chapatis, vegetables, chickens, pilau, sweet rice, water, food, all so we can eat, make energy, have our bodies, focus on ibadah. Not that we become big and fat and bodybuilders, and if I eat this, I'll get vitamins. Allah Ta'ala has naturally put these things into food so that we can eat, have energy, and run towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he was asked, what is the biggest ni'mah, gift of Allah? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the biggest treasure in this world is that with health, a person has taqwa, fear of Allah, with health. If you don't have health, what will you do? What will I do? Tell me, if I get ill, how can he come to dhikr? How can I sit in the masjid away from it? Because I'll be lost. I'll be at home ill. So we should be grateful. Allah, thousands, millions of times over, you've given us good health. And with the health, we are using our bodies for your pleasure, Allah. That's why we should have good bodies and health. Allah, I'm so grateful you've given me wealth and money. You've made me rich. And this wealth you give me, money, is not for spending stupidly in the world and on disobedience and wasting money in excess. I'm grateful, Allah, that I'll spend this money in your way so I can please you in good ways. That's the common sense. Whatever ni'mah Allah Ta'ala gives to human beings in the world, the objective, you should make one niyyah intention. All the ni'mahs, health, wealth, money, Allah, I'll use this for your pleasure. That's it. And this is being grateful to Allah. If I don't have this, then everything Allah has given to me will become a curse for me in this world. Lana. Lana, you understand what I'm saying? So the asal, the genuine objective, understand. Why am I in this world? Why have I come here? All the rewards, food, drink, all of the circle of life, things in the world, where does it go and end? The pleasure of Allah. Say loudly, the rada of Allah. So don't forget this, make this, memorize this, what I'm telling you today. Whenever you get a ni'mat in the world, in your life, understand, Allah, I'm going to spend this. I've got health today. Who will I spend my health on? Allah's pleasure. Allah has given me a wife. Who will I spend my wife on? Utilize of what? Allah has given me money. What will I spend my money on? Allah, your rada. Will I do any action apart from Allah's rada? Then it will become lanat for me, a wrath for me. Allah has made you rich, wealthy. Allah has given you lots of money, lots of wealth. Then I should be grateful, Allah. You've given me the wealth, Allah. You've given me money. It's not through my struggles and effort. You sent the customers to my shop. They gave me money. But Allah, you gave this money to me. So this money, I'm not going to spend on futile actions and wasteful activities. Rather, I'm going to spend on your pleasure, Allah. So then you're grateful on that ni'mah. Allah says, Shakartum la azidannakum. Today, you are a millionaire. Then inshallah, tomorrow, you have 100,000 today. Tomorrow, you'll have a million because you are grateful for this name of wealth. So I'm telling you the secrets of how to become rich. Whatever hal you're in, be grateful. You to say, Allah, Alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah. Because Allah, whatever situation He's put you in the world, it's to attain His pleasure. This is Rada'i ilahi. There are different names. Pleasure of Allah, Rida'i ilahi, Qurbi ilahi, Irfan ilahi, closeness to Allah, Marifa, nameless to Allah. Different names, but they're all the same. Common. What's the objective? Allah's pleasure, to please Allah. That's it. May Allah become pleased with us. Now, here's a point we need to hear. To get this destination of Allah's pleasure, Allah hasn't kept a secret. How to get close to Him and His pleasure. Allah is Kareem, Rahim, blessings, mercies. Look at Allah's mercies. That Allah has unraveled the method, technique to attain the greatest objective in the universe. Allah hasn't kept it a secret. Not one, not two, not three, not 100, not 1,000, not 100,000. So many paths Allah has given, so many methods and mediums and modes that more than the breaths of a human being, we have methods and techniques to get close to Allah. I didn't enjoy saying you subhanAllah. Say subhanAllah loudly. SubhanAllah. Ajib people, you are weird. Yeah? You should be jumping up. That such a great maqsad we've got in life, that our life revolves around Allah's pleasure. Allah has not made it hard to get His pleasure. Look at Allah's mercy. Allah has not just given us one path. Allah could say, there's only one way you can please me. Or just do one action and you'll please me. And this is the only way you can get near to me. No. Allah says, there are so many paths you can go down to get to my irfan, my marifa, my nenis, my qurb, my love, my muhabbat, my pleasure, to get close to me. There's so many paths. Not one. Rather, how many? More than the number of breaths of a human being. More than that. SubhanAllah. Do you understand what I'm saying? So what a great statement. And even easier than that, Allah's made it. Even easier than the number of breaths. Look, Allah's karam. Allah's karam. Allah says, okay, fine. Okay, I'll give you a clue now. Make it easy for you. Allah says, all of the different paths to get close to me. Allah says, let me summarize it to one path. Say subhanAllah. Allah says, I'll make it easy for one method. Look at Allah's shan. There are millions of ways, but there's one easy way. Allah says, I'll make it easy for you. Okay, there are thousands of paths and mediums and modes, but you still run around like headless chickens. Allah says, okay, I'll make it easier for you now to understand how to practice the deen and get close to me. Allah says, let's collect all of them and combine them and summarize it on one path for you to get my pleasure. What is that path? If you grab hold of that path, Allah says, then you will become the owner of all of the paths to get close to Allah. Allah says, if you don't walk to me, if you don't run to me, rather you will sprint to me and you'll become mine. Allah says, you'll become mine if you do what I'm telling you. Allah, what is that path? What's that one easiest path, Allah? Should I tell you? No, first there's a condition. If I tell you the path, then you must promise to practice that path. Inshallah. Will you do it? Inshallah. Put your hands up if you're going to do that. Put your hands up. Ah, shabash. Yes. So on the day of judgment, Allah will say to you, you put your hands up. Everyone put your hands up. Don't be scared that it shouldn't just reach your ears. Rather, it should go down to your heart's intention. Okay, now you've realized. So this is fikr-e-akhira, isn't it? We are preparing. Am I giving a speech? No, this is not a speech. Am I giving dars? No, this is fikr-e-akhira for which we are sat down. That Allah's rada, pleasure to get to Allah's rada, I'm telling you, such a path, such a way that it overwhelms all other paths. It is most superior and it will make you attain the pleasure of Allah. MashaAllah, MashaAllah. So what is that path? What is that technique? What's that method? Allah says, I'll tell you myself. I'll tell you myself, Allah says. Allah says, I'll tell you, and you will announce subhanAllah. Double. Noor ala noor. Noor ala noor. Yes? So, Allah says, I will tell you, and you will announce. And not just like this. I won't just do like this. Rather, how will I do it? That in that kitab will announce that before this and after this, there's no kitab that compares. There's no kitab that compares, Allah says. Now, will we practice this or not? Inshallah. What a solid statement. So here we hear three things just for us to get close to Allah and get His pleasure and save ourselves from Jahannam. For us to become wali Allah's. for me to become a kutab, for me to become a ghawth. Yes, that my every word, every dua, Allah wants to hear it. So Allah is opening the path. Allah doesn't listen to me. I don't know. Where is Allah? Allah doesn't listen to me. He doesn't give to me. Brothers, read the Quran. Follow Allah's advice. Allah will announce. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam has announced. Double nur. And Allah sealed the announcement in the Quran. And that Quran is such that every year, thousands of times, multiplied by thousands, millions of people read this Quran in the world. So Allah has told us in the Quran how to get His pleasure. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ وَيَغْفِرْ لُكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. Is this not the Quran? Is this not the Quran? And how is this being announced? قُلْ. Allah says, I'm not saying, Allah says, you, O Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you tell the Muslimin, the Ummah. So Allah is saying, I'll tell, announce through the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Your Ummah loves you, doesn't it? Allah said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they listen to you more, isn't it? They understand more what you say. They'll understand your words better. So you tell them, announce to them, O my Nabi, my beloved sallallahu alaihi wasallam, tell them, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ. What's the secret Allah has unraveled here? قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ. Allah says, look, if you want my raza, if you want my pleasure, Allah says, if at the time of death you want to die and leave in such a way that you get good news, Allah is pleased with you, that all of the life you spend in the world and people announce that, oh, this man, he, Allah is pleased with him. He's pleased Allah. He's wandering around the world. Allah loves him. Do you want this life? Do we want this life? Do I want this life? SubhanAllah, of course we do. So what should we do? Allah said that all the paths in the world to get close to me, there's one path which will get to me direct. فَاتَّبِعُونِي. SubhanAllah. What is this path? So what's the announcement? Allah said, oh my Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that if you want Allah's pleasure, I'll tell you the path. Said Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if you follow that path, if you implement it, fatabiuni. What is that path? That you follow my sunnah, do amal on my sunnah, and Allah will be pleased with you. SubhanAllah. This is not some normal man telling us this. Allah is ordering. This is the order in the Quran. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is announcing this order. And where's this being written? Inscribed. Jibreel alayhi salam brought this revelation down from the heavens. It's in Surah Al-Imran in the Quran. Not one scribe, more than 100,000 sahaba who witnessed this revelation and they did amal on this verse. قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ. And we unfortunate people today, we have left this deen. That we don't want to practice this. We don't believe in this. We don't accept this. It is not necessary for us to do this. There's no benefit for us. Why do we need to practice this? We have no need for this sunnah. We'll pray salah, we'll pray the way we want to pray, and we'll pray in our technique. When we wear attire and clothes, we'll wear according to our desires. When we eat, we'll eat the way we want. When we sleep, we'll sleep the way we want. When we live in the world, we'll live the way we want. When we meet relatives, we'll meet them the way we want. When friends come, we'll treat them the way we want. There's no sunnah in our lives. Tell me, is this the life of a human being? Is this what death will those people have, those who don't follow Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? What akhirah will they have hereafter? Tell me. Fattabi'uni, Allah says. قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُبْنَا. Say, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, tell your Muslims, if you want my love, Allah says, then fattabi'uni, then you must adopt that path of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Allah says, I promise you, I tell you in the Quran, in this verse, I promise you, Allah says, what? يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ. If you follow the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then you won't love me. Forget that. Allah says, this is such a great path following the sunnah. If you bring it into your life, then Allah says, I will make you my beloved. SubhanAllah. SubhanAllah. Tell me, what a massive reward. What a great conclusion. Allah Rabbul Alameen, the master of the universe, says, if you follow the sunnah, I will start to love you and make you my beloved. Forget about you loving me. I will love you. وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ. Allah says, I'll forgive your sins. Allahu Akbar. Wallahu Ghafoor Rahim. Allah subhanAllah is the most merciful and most forgiving. Look at this, my brothers. قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِ يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهَ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورُ رَحِيمٌ. This is the path to get close to Allah. The rest is all bypasses. Bypasses and ways on the side. This is the straight one line path to Allah Ta'ala's love and qurb and nearness, and to attain success in this world. And if we want to please Allah, this is the one and only path. And after that, everything will become easy for us. Everything. Just close your eyes. Say, O Muhammad, to mankind, if you love Allah, follow me. Muhammad says, and Allah will love you and forgive your sins. Allah is forgiving, merciful. So Rasul says, just close your eyes and follow my sunnah. And one sunnah is greater than everything in the world. Every action we do, tijara, business, relatives, friendship, people in the world, mother, father, serving them, wife, children, family life, father-in-law, mother-in-law, family in-laws, relatives, business, transactions, traveling, all the categories of life. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنٌ. He is the greatest example to the universe that whatever life apart, coming to the masjid, leaving the masjid, going to the toilet, coming out of the toilet, drinking water, standing, sitting, walking, traveling, eating, drinking. There's no part of your life that you cannot get the example how to do it from the greatest example of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And there's no part of his life that was hidden to this extent that how should you go in your house? How should you go to your wife? How should you love your wife? How should your wife love the husband? How the rights of the wife, rights of the husband, rights of the children? There's no part of the life for a child is born. What should you do? How to give tahneek, give him sweat into the sweet thing into the saliva, how to give the azan, ears and khatana, circumcision. There's nothing in life that we don't learn from the example, the greatest example, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And there's no part of your life that you should live without being immersed in the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Am I right? Am I wrong? And this is the history of our qawm, the ummatis. One sunnah, if you practice on one sunnah, imagine the conclusion. What's the consequence? One, if for example, you make the niyyah of coming to the masjid the sunnah way, then you come into the masjid the right foot first, you take your shoes off, left shoe comes off first, then the right shoe, then you come into the masjid in the sunnah way, right foot first, and then when you leave the masjid, you take the left foot out of the masjid first, and your niyyah, your intention is what? Did it take long? Sunnah. Did it take long to make niyyah of sunnah? Did it take long to implement the sunnah? When you make the intention and you implement these sunnah actions, look, the Quran is telling us. The Quran is telling us, when you take your feet out of the left foot first, when you take your shoes off, and when you put your right foot into the masjid first, when you enter the masjid, yes, I'm not going against anyone, I'm not criticizing anyone, speaking bad against anyone, but in this gathering, everyone look into yourselves, that when I came into the masjid, which man stood and made the niyyah, that I am entering into the masjid in the way of the sunnah? Which man? Did you make the niyyah? Did we make the intention? No, we didn't. We didn't. So then why have we left the sunnah? We should think that Allah make intention to enter into the masjid in the sunnah way. When we implement this one sunnah, if a man does amal on one sunnah, what's the reward? What's the reward? The Quran is witness that when one sunnah is implemented, water, if you're drinking standing, then you have to make niyyah that Allah, I want to drink according to the way of the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And when a person then follows sunnah and drinks the correct way, then with every action, if you say from your zuban that I want to do this action according to the sunnah, this is the sabut, and this is my niyyah, I'm doing it for the intention of sunnah. According to this, I'm drinking or doing any action, I'm driving or traveling, or I'm meeting my customer this way, or I'm meeting another person in the way. So what should be the niyyah? Come out of the tongue. In your heart, there should be a solid lesson. With a cool breath, Allah, I'm doing this action according to the sunnah. So what does the sunnah say now? What does the sunnah about this? What am I about to do? Become solid on this in your life. So much practice. Every second, every word, every action, every footstep, every hand movement. What does the sunnah say? What's the sunnah of drinking? What's the sunnah of talking, walking? Should be drowned in this mindset. Why? Because leaving one sunnah, the loss, and practicing one sunnah, the benefit. Listen. One sunnah. Yeah? If you drink, you shouldn't drink standing. You should sit and drink. One sunnah. Yes? And one other sunnah. For example, remember an event of drinking water now. Maybe I told you this before, but it's sunnah. I'm speaking about one brother came. You know, the agents come. Subhanallah, install this gas meter and change switch your energy company and the different gas electronics. I was at home, there was a bell that rang and I went out to the door and he was a young man and he was from one of the energy companies. He said, I'm from this company. Which one? What company is it? EDF or I can't remember the names in English. And I am the representative, I'm the salesman. I said, it's okay, I've got British Gas, I don't need to switch the energy company. He said, no, you know they work hard and they push. And I said, let him speak, I'm not going to switch the gas company. And it took a few minutes, I got a bit bored. I was listening to him and then I thought, please, you know, I don't need to change my energy company. I don't need to change the meter or the readings and the letters. Why? Am I foolish that I'm going to change? So he tried his best and he could see that I'm not going to change and he was red in his face. He was trying hard to sell me his company. I said, look, he said, okay, fair enough. Don't switch company. At least can you give me some water? And he said this to me and I smiled. I said, no problem. Of course, sharbat, soft drink, water, akhlas, do you want tea? Whatever you want, inshallah. He said, no, just some water, please. I need some water. I said, come inside, there's some food. He said, no. And this is another topic now. He said, no, I'm in a rush. I've got work to do. Please, if you can give me some water. And I'm tired. I was trying to explain to you, and you don't understand the benefits of my energy company. So I went inside, I came back out with a glass of water. Soon as he took the glass of water, that brother, look at the action he took out. Subhanallah. Suddenly he sat down. He was standing. He sat down and he'd read the dua, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. And then in three sips he drank the water. Ah, I fell in love with that brother, mashallah. I was so happy, wallahi, until today I'm immersed in the love of that brother. I looked at him and I was so overjoyed. I said, sit, you are my peer, you are my sheikh, and I'm your student now. You can't go. He said, why? I said, now I will take from you your energy company. Doesn't matter, I have to pay for it. I said, don't worry about it, come inside, come inside. He said, no. I said, please come in. I said, I'm your customer. And then I forced him inside. I sat him down, I gave him food. After that I said to him, now you tell me what to do. And today, until today, I've got that same energy company I'm the customer in. And maybe through that Allah will forgive me. He was shocked that I changed my mind. What was the reason? I said, there was one reason. I said, I couldn't imagine what you did. That a person like you, who was selling and forcing, and you are stuck in the dunya, and according to the sunnah, you sat down and drank the water. I fell in love with this action, and I really love this action of yours. I said, I was very, very impressed. And he became a friend. And I said, Subhanallah, how did you get habitual in this? He said that my grandfather, he was a wali. He was a good person. And I used to spend life with him. I used to hold his finger and go to salah. And in my young life, I learned these few things from him, and it became my habit to do it in the sunnah way. Subhanallah, everything is from habit, my brothers. If you have good parents, then never will the son be spoiled. Never will the daughter be spoiled. If the young age someone gives you tarbiyah and teaches you from the age, we don't know, you're going to be this and you're going to earn this much money and you're going to go to that country and we put this making money. Then we say, I want him to be hafiz and a qari, but we sell them to the dunya. No, the wali Allah, subhanallah, their practice is when the child is born, I said, then they have the niyyah, the parents, I want to make the child an asset for my akhirah. And with that niyyah, we bring up that child to Allah Ta'ala, make him pious in his ears. We will bring him up and give him perversion. We won't send him towards dunya. We'll teach him, be content, satisfied. Don't worry about money, poverty. Take the path of the Quran. Many challenges will come. Tests will come. People will earn money in the world, mal. But you don't step back from the deen. Inshallah, wealth will come to your footsteps. To your footsteps. And this is how to bring up the children. So this is in our control, our choice. Anyway, I've gone off track. So coming back, one sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad SAW. Why did he get so much thawab, that young man? He straight away found his energy company and the energy promoted him. He got commission. He said, I've got another contract. And subhanAllah, he said that my friend, another person, and mashallah, he got promotion. And then he put me onto the phone and I switched the company. I don't know where he's in now. Why? Because Allah has promised, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمْ اللَّهَ. I saw with my eyes, because my path of dars and tabligh, propagating the deen, I saw with my eyes that look at yaqeen. This is this man. He practiced one sunnah and his life, Allah Ta'ala says, I've transformed for goodness. I've taken him out of poverty and hardship, and he's got promotion. He's more senior in the company now in front of my eyes, and he's prospered in the world. Allah says, why? Because I've promised in the Quran that when a person follows one sunnah of the Prophet قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَتَّبِعُونِي. When a person practices the sunnah of my Habib, Allah says, Prophet Muhammad says, the number one reward is what? The first reward, يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ. The first reward immediately, Allah Ta'ala says, that he becomes my mahbub. Allah says, he becomes my beloved. Is Allah's love far from us? One sunnah if we implement, not that practice all the sunnahs. One sunnah if you do amal, one sunnah. I'm giving you good news today, massive good news, that subhanAllah, glory be to Allah, if the human being is about to die and he suddenly starts to practice sunnah, only he will do it at the time of his deathbed. If he practiced sunnah all his life, I'll do easily miswak at the time of death. Only that person gets tawfiq to practice sunnah at the time of death, maut, on the deathbed. That person who practiced sunnah during his life. Allah. I remember one of our buzurgs, pious predecessors, I forgot his name, doesn't come to my mind, I can't remember his name. And it was his father, mashallah, Anwar sahab, his father, mashallah. So about him, I heard this, alhamdulillah, that the time when he was about to pass away in the hospital, Anwar sahab's father, mashallah, and he did tayammum, he did wudu. He said, let me do wudu. So he did tayammum, he was on his deathbed in the hospital. I heard this. And after that, he passed away. Subhanallah. So now, what is the good news? Subhanallah, that when a person does amal, action on one sunnah, then at that time he is the beloved of Allah. So imagine how he dies then. He'll be dying in a positive way, isn't it? In a good way. Because if he loved Allah and the sunnah and dhikr all his life, then he won't leave empty handed. That person, he used to do dhikr so much, he did dhikr. He was a dhakr, sat in our gatherings. Them was just like the brothers, he used to sit on the chair. So the reward, what reward does he get? that when a person does amal on the sunnah, first reward, he becomes the beloved of Allah, mahbub of Allah. As Allah says in this verse, yuhbibkum Allah, a majlis of a maqam, he becomes a wali of Allah, he becomes a friend of Allah. Second reward of doing amal on the sunnah, wa yaghfir lakum, Allah says, subhanallah, though all the previous sins, Allah says, wa yaghfir lakum dhunubakum, all of your previous sins are eliminated on one sunnah. You're taking your shoes off, sunnah way. You're putting imam on your head, sunnah. Yes, not reading is this wajib, sunnah, fard. No, I heard Rasulullah some days, sunnah, subhanallah, say subhanallah. I can't enjoy it, say louder, subhanallah. Oh, the word should go at least to Medina when you say subhanallah, because we're speaking about the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu. All arguments finish on the sunnah. End of story. Yes, the Quran is telling us all sins, Allah says, I remove them. Wa yaghfir lakum dhunubakum. Wallahu ghafurur rahim. Allah says, I eliminate the sins. First is, Allah says, you become my beloved. Second, sins are removed. Wallahu ghafurur rahim. Third reward, Allahu Akbar. Allah says, I have forgiven you, isn't it? I've forgiven you. My power is there. I can forgive everything. You've done zina, I forgive you. You've stolen, forgiven. You've murdered, I've forgiven you. Apart from shirk, Allah says, I'm ghafoor, I forgive all sins. One sunnah, look at the reward. The third reward, Allah says, and I'm raheem. And Allah has put this attribute, quality, to the front. And ask the ulama ikram, respected scholars, what is raheem? Allah says, I forgive. Wallahu ghafoor, I forgive, and raheem. Allah says, on this action, I love you, because you followed the sunnah, you've become my beloved, I've forgiven your sins. Allah is forgiving, merciful. And Allah says, I want to give the reward. The all the sins you did in your life till today, Allah transformed them into good deeds. Allah. Allahu Akbar. Allah will say subhanallah again. Subhanallah. After today, no one should shave or trim or cut the beard. Then I'll understand that person's got iman. That person's got iman. After today, apart from the sunnah, don't wear any other clothing. Then I'll consider that person is iman and he wants to get the akhirah hereafter. After today, the way of our lives and our family should be according to the sunnah. Your children with love, not with enmity, with love. Bring your children towards the sunnah. Then I'll understand that today you've understood today's message of the Quran. Otherwise I'll understand, just like the previous nations, that their nabis explained to them, summum bukmun umyum fahum la yubsirun, that Allah Ta'ala will bring, his wrath will descend, and may Allah's wrath not come unto us. That let's not spoil our faces. Let's do amal on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sunnah. Let's correct our faces. Women should hide their faces, have haya, modesty, and don't criticize the children who are following their deen. Don't consider them mad, foolish, those sisters who prefer the deen. Don't oppress them, don't ridicule them. If you do this, then you are creating enmity with Allah and you are challenging Allah. And Allah says you'll be destroyed. You'll be destroyed. If in the dunya you are not given the punishment, then Allah says this is the big adab that you will not even realize that you are working against the deen in this world. Those who oppose the deen, those who criticize others who practice the deen, if you go against someone, what are you doing? Why practice the deen? You've gone too far. You're extreme. You're friendless. Then remember, if Allah doesn't punish you in this world, if Allah doesn't destroy you now, then that's a big adab for this reason. Allah says, I don't want to give you pain in this world. I don't want to reduce your money. I don't want to give your children problems, because you'll come to Tawbah. So you're doing such a big sin that you're ridiculing the sunnah of Rasulullah. You're opposing the Quran. I'm giving such rewards, and you're telling people who practice the deen that you're doing wrong. My daughter, son, you girl, boy, you are doing wrong things. If astaghfirullah, you discourage someone from the sunnah, then I swear by Rabbe Kaaba, Rabbe Kareem, that there's no bigger enemy of Allah in the world, in the universe, than a person who discourages others from practicing the sunnah. If a person, a human being, discourages others practicing the Quran and sunnah, why is that person not dying? Why is Allah not grabbing? One is to leave Allah's deen. One is to challenge Allah's deen. Am I right or am I wrong? Quran is telling us this. The Quran is telling us this. So if Allah doesn't take that person away from here or destroy that person, then Allah is extremely unhappy with that person. Allah says, I don't want to punish you here. Forget punishing you here. There's no punishment I can give you here that you deserve, because you're discouraging others from deen, except for one thing. Unless if he does astaghfar, if that person does tawbah, Allah says, my doors are open, I'll give you an announcement. La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu min adh-dhalimin. Oh, my Mawla, I was jahil. I was ignorant. I didn't know. I put people down. I discouraged them from the deen. Allah, forgive me. Allah will forgive. If you do tawbah, then you will be saved only. Only then, if you ridiculed and mocked the deen, don't think I'm happy, I've got money, wealth, nothing spoiled me. I'm not practicing the deen, that's a big azab. Why? Allah says, your azab, your punishment, there's no punishment in the world that you deserve. They're all small. I will grab you in the hereafter, and the people of the hellfire will be shocked when they see your azab. Allah says. So my brothers, a person like this, who degrades the deen, who makes enmity with those who practice the sunnah, who stands against people who practice the sunnah, who mock those who practice the sunnah, who criticize them, if you can't practice the sunnah, then do tawbah, stay quiet. But don't joke against those who practice the deen. Never do this, never, may Allah forgive, never should do this action. Such a big enmity with Allah. So 3-4 rewards, Allah says in the Quran, Surah Al-Imran, that practicing one sunnah, these 4 rewards come sudden. Can there be no easier way than this? The easiest way to make Allah happy. Allah says you get my nearness and you get the dunya. Subhanallah, you get both. You get dunya. In the world you get respect. You become happy. This temporary world, Allah says all your needs and obstacles will be removed, eliminated, all the hardships. Sometimes you'll have problems of wealth, or the wife will be problematic, or the children. These are tests. Tests. Don't worry about the tests. Don't worry about the obstructions. Allah says, look at the Prophet's life. The Sahaba Ikram, they had obstacles. They had tests and challenges. But we need to overcome those hurdles. Don't leave sunnah. Never go away from the path of the sunnah. There's no path apart from the sunnah of Rasulullah. There's no other amal, no other way of life, no other way to success. Yes, no one can be a lover of Allah, no one can be mahbub of Allah, no one can get close to Allah, no one can do these things if he is opposition to the sunnah. There's no path in opposition to the path of Muhammad. Who's saying this? Shaykh Sadi, rahmatullah, great shaykhs. They said, no one can imagine by leaving the sunnah, and he says he's an ashik of Allah. Impossible, I'm an ashik, I'm this and that. Total nonsense and rubbish. Allah says, "Kul in kuntum tuhibbun Allah." Announce my Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That person is not my ashik if he follows the sunnah, says Allah. And all the awliya, the walis in the history of Islam, Allah was their ashik, lover. Allah loved them. Why? Because they practiced the sunnah. Allah loved them. Subhanallah. Yes, so this is very valuable and azim path Allah has given to us. I remember a hadith and then I will summarize the discussion. A beautiful hadith we should listen to. It's a very good hadith. It has narrated in Abu Dawood and Mishkat, 2 places where this hadith is narrated. Shall I tell you the hadith? Will you do amal on it? Inshallah. True promise. Put your hands up if you practice this hadith. Oh, to the ceiling your hand should reach when you put the hands up. To the ceiling. Yes, I haven't even told you anything yet. Let's come towards the hadith. In Abu Dawood, this hadith, in the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this is a sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Look, I'm telling you a sunnah so that we can do amal on it, practice it. So what did Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam tell us? That when we eat, we should be together and eat. Subhanallah. Here, see, well, after eating, you said subhanallah, isn't it? That's it, isn't it? Food. So what should we do when we eat? We should gather together in a group and eat. When we eat together, then there'll be barakah from that food. And when you take barakah, show me where's barakah. Can we? That if you can earn £1,000, £100,000, £1,000,000, trillions, I swear by Allah, there will be no barakah unless we do it correctly. Where does barakah come from? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives barakah. Allah gives blessings. And the whole world's kingdoms put to one side. And if you eat, take £5 with barakah to one side, the world's things will finish, but the £5 barakah will not end. So this is barakah from the deen. Barakah, blessings, seek barakah. Blessings. Whenever you do dua in your home, what should you ask for? Don't ask for more in number. Rather, Allah say, Allah give barakah to my children. Put barakah in my wealth. Allah put barakah in my health. Put barakah in my deeds. Put barakah in my Quran. Put barakah in my salah. Don't look at numbers. Quantity. I can't pray tahajjud, maybe Allah. I can read 5 times salah a day. I need to work, my children. I need to earn. I'm not healthy. Okay, no problem. Ask for Allah for barakah. And your 5 times salah in the day, you will get the reward of tahajjud as well. Through the barakah. But we don't want to ask Allah for barakah and blessings. Oh Allah, there's no sale, turnover today. I needed more money. At Christmas time we cry. I didn't get so much turnover. My customers got bored of me. We never are thankful to Allah that we should raise our hands and say, Allah, I don't want anything. But just give me barakah. Allah, barakah, blessings. And where does Allah give barakah? How do we get barakah? Say loudly, through the sunnah. Through the sunnah. And which sunnah? That the food's going to our stomach. The chicken I'm eating, fish I'm eating, alhamdulillah. But how am I eating? Allah's Nabi says some sunnah according to sunnah. So Allah says, whatever you can get in the world or the universe, Allah says, I'll give you through one action, barakah, blessings in one sunnah. So will we do this? Follow this sunnah? That's it. But now, what do we want to do? Child comes, opens the fridge and stands and drinks water. Today, what have you cooked at home? Then he goes and eats himself. Daughter eats herself. One son's eating, another time daughter. This time someone's going into the kitchen. Someone in the other room, their own rooms. Forget food at home. Takeaways. Boxes from the daughter's eating from the takeaway. Son's from the takeaway. Father's gone to another takeaway. And this takeaway, three takeaways, foods. And everyone's eating in their rooms separately. And then we say there's no barakah. We complain. We're eating. Stomachs are full. Stomach aches. Diarrhea. Ill. Someone's vomiting. No barakah in the house. There's game. Allah's Nabi said what? Sit down, family together, and eat so you get barakah together. Is there a promise today? Will you eat sitting after today? And this Tirmidhi hadith, beyond this now, Tirmidhi hadith, great hadith. This is about eating. I'm telling you, no, some big amal. I'm not saying wake up in the night, pray tajud, barakah, blessings. And you cannot get barakah apart from the sunnah. There's a hadith in Sahih Tirmidhi, subhanAllah, that the more hands on the dastarkhan eating, subhanAllah, say subhanAllah. You understand? The more people sitting together, the more hands that come towards the food, in other words, the more people who eat together, the more barakah there will be in that meal. So son, you come, my friend come, other relative come. So eating, even a young child, children, open up the food mat on the floor. The more people that come and cheer and partake, then the more your food will multiply and the barakah will come, and the more your wealth and sustenance will increase, and rahmah and mercy will come. Yes. And now, if you want to see the barakah, then go to the khanka of the walis of Allah. MashaAllah, I remember my Hazrat Sahib's khanka, he used to eat yogurt himself. But alhamdulillah. But when the guests would come, Hazrat Sahib's guests would come to do dhikr, then Hazrat Sahib would get potato, make potato curry, and a little bit of chapati, and he would distribute everyone. And I know myself, I used to eat those pieces of chapati and bring them home. And on the dasarkhan, there were 100, 200, 300 brothers would eat on that dasarkhan. This is the barakah in the khankas of the walis of Allah. And that's why people go. Hazrat Sahib would say, please eat and go. That please eat and go. And Hazrat would force the guests to eat. He didn't have nothing to eat himself. It was night time, 10 p.m. someone's coming at 12 a.m. Hazrat would prepare food for them 1 a.m. In no time the khanka would a person leave empty stomach, hungry. No one left our khanka. Look at the amount, mashallah, the people who eat in our khanka. Yes? That you will remember, three dishes in chicken in Ramadan. So sad that people from other masjids would come to the khanka to eat. They say, oh, food we get here. And they do itikaf in the khanka. Yes, this is the amount of barakah Allah gave. That langar would never finish the food for this reason. For this reason, the 5,000-6,000 you can get people coming to eat. Until today, we did not realize that there was anything lacking. We didn't ask for money, charity, never. Allah, I swear by Allah, never did we ask anyone to donate. This is not the habit in the khanka, nor in making the masjid. We don't ask people for charity and go out for donations. Where would it come from? Allah knows. Allah's rahmah would give. Allah's mercy would give. SubhanAllah. So brothers, this is the hadith. So now, let's make dastarkhans. Don't be stingy and miserly. What do we need to do? Spread the dastarkhan. Come eat with me tomorrow. Let's share. Maybe don't call me. You don't need to call me. But call your friends and call your relatives and people who have iman. People who pray salah. Not this that call people, someone who's rich. He's got big warehouse. Let's call him to eat. He'll give me money and he'll do things for me. No. You can call, come, yaar, drink tea with me because you want to get money from him and get his treasure. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. This is dunya and tajib. Call people who are close to Allah, poor people who you know that this person is hidden his poverty. 3 days he's not eaten, his stomach's empty, he's not got any money, he's poor, he hasn't got any wealth. Call him with respect and with say, I'll be happy if you come, my barakah will come. No, I'll come and come this time and eat. When you invite people, call fakirs, people in need, beg to them, come to my house, beg to them. When you beg to them, Allah will descend, allow His mercy to descend on you. Why? Because if you have a friend, imagine you have a friend. And your friend, he is a close friend. And someone likes him and embraces him and invites him. Will you not like that? Of course you will, won't you? That my friend, he treated him nicely. He appreciated my friend. He treated him nicely, gave him water. Due to him, he's my friend. Due to him being my friend, he treated him kindly. You'll like that. So if you serve Allah's friends, due to Allah, say, for Allah's sake, then Allah Ta'ala is beloved if you serve them, help them, assist them, feed them, and you give them favors. You don't reject them. Oh, did I give you food? Did I give you gifts? Don't you remember that day I gave you feather? Did you like it? No, you're reminding them of the favors. No, rather hide. Never make him feel or her feel that you're favoring that person. This is your asani adeem, though you're accepting my service. I'm not even capable of helping you. I don't even think I've got rizq or money. I didn't never think. Imagine that my money would be spent on food getting your stomach. I'm so happy you came to my house that I could feed you and give you. I remember this, brothers, when a wali of Allah accepts your gifts, then pray 2 rakat nafil shukrana. Be grateful to that Allah, your friend, I served him. I served him. How? That I served your friend. When I served your friend and pleased him, Allah, then you also be happy with me, Allah. Be happy with me. And it can never be that the friend of Allah, if you serve him and make him happy, and just like if you displease a friend of Allah and you are disrespectful to him, you dishonor him, that poor soul, he'll never say anything to you, won't fight with you. The walis of Allah, they're quiet, they won't punch you, they won't rebuke you, answer back to you, he'll hear the swearing, the criticism, he'll be quiet. He will be quiet, but Rabb will not be quiet. Allah Rabbul Ameen says, I'm not. Allah's announced in the Quran that you are disrespecting and dishonoring my wali. Allah says, then see who you are fighting with. You are challenging me. Allah says, be careful and cautious. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. Do amal on these 2 sunnahs today. Ameen.